I have a lot of experience now in this space. And so I've heard it all. I know every reason people struggle with eating a plant-based diet. And we tried to be considerate of all of those different struggles. I want to give them resources to overcome those obstacles. So one of them, of course, is time. So we tried to make everything as fast as possible. And also give you tips on how you can make it faster if you have something like an Instant Pot. Health is a huge concern. Many people come to the plant-based on a budget meal plans because they're looking for a guide to help them stay away from the more processed diet. Also, the environment. Being a friendly vegan and sharing food with non-vegans is one of the best forms of activism that you can do.
Tony Okamoto, and I am Christina, your host. Welcome to another episode of Follow Your Kind podcast. So Tony Okamoto is amazing. She is the founder of the Plant-Based on a Budget, which I'm sure you know, and if you don't, you're about to figure it out. It is the popular website, a meal plan that shows you how to save money by eating vegetables. She is a myth buster, and specifically for the misconception that vegan and plant-based diet has to be expensive. It does not. And she very well, masterfully and easefully shows you how to make plant-based diet cheap, quick, affordable, and also very tasty. So Tony Okamoto is an author of the Plant-Based on a Budget cookbook, the Super Easy Vegan Slow Cooker cookbook, and she's also co-host of the Plant-Powered People podcast. She has another book that is coming out that we will talk about that I am personally very excited. It's called the Friendly Vegan Cookbook, and it basically is a collection of the 100 recipes that are easy, cheap, but specifically made for being shared with other people, vegan or otherwise. And it's just the perfect timing for us slowly transitioning and making our way into the holidays. And sharing food in general is just exciting, and there is so much heart in it. And it's, to me personally, it's just, there's something so much more special in sharing the food that you made with the love that you put in it rather than just meeting up at the restaurant, which there's nothing wrong, of course, with meeting up at the restaurant as well. But I just think there's something very, very special about sharing the food that you made. Anyways, Okamoto is amazing. She has been featured and profiled by NBC News, Parade magazine. She's a regular presence on local and national morning shows across the country. She also has been featured on a popular documentary, which some of you may have seen, maybe all of you. It's called What the Health. If you haven't, a great documentary to watch. You should definitely do it. Put it on your Netflix list. And as I said, this is a great conversation, and I really hope you enjoy it. Tony shares her personal story about what got her on the way of plant-based vegan diet. I think it's a little bit different than what you hear regularly. For her, it was definitely a transition, and I think she talks a lot about how important it is to make the journey personal to you and really explore your values. And the way that her activism looked like also evolved and transitioned a lot through the years, and she talks a lot about that too. And then, of course, we get into the tips and tricks and secrets and hacks into how make plant-based nutrition and plant-based diet easy and affordable. And Tony is just full of wisdom as well as experience in that realm. I really hope you enjoy that conversation. Her pops in on the conversation as well, and she also shares the Instagram account of her dog, so I hope you listen through. I hope the pup gets a little bit more followers, and definitely give Tony Okamoto a like, and the cookbook, the Friendly Vegan Cookbook, it just makes such a great gift. So consider that. Check it out. Again, she has a lot of the free resources on her website as well. So check that out, the plantbasedonthebudget.com. And I hope you enjoy the episode. And as always, please, 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 if you have any suggestions, questions, email me at christina@followyourkind.com if you have guest suggestions for me. And if you have a few minutes, I would absolutely love if you could leave me a review on your favorite podcast platform. I hope you all are taking care of yourself. And until the next time. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the show. And today we have an amazing guest, one of my favorite influencers in the vegan community, Tony Okamoto. And most of you know Tony from Plant-Based on the Budget platform, cookbook, meal plan resource. She's also a podcast host. And we are very, very, very lucky to have her today to share her wisdom on eating plants on a budget. Hi, Tony. How are you doing today?
I'm very well. Thank you so much for having me on your show. It's such an honor. Thank you.
Thank you so much for agreeing and taking the time. I'm extremely excited. I know one of the biggest barriers probably that I hear from people either eating more plant-based nutrition or going vegan is because they say it's very pricey. So I'm very excited to go on this journey with you today and do some myth-busting with you.
Let's do it.
Let's start a little bit before though. I'd love to know how you got on this track and when was the point of decision for you when you either decided to become vegan, vegetarian, plant-based? How did that evolve for you?
It evolved slowly and gradually, but it all began when I was a lot younger. When I was about 16 years old, I ran track at my high school, and at the time, I had never considered the food that I put into my body and how it would impact it. So I would eat terrible foods, processed foods, a bag of Doritos for lunch, lots of Taco Bell that was across the street from my high school. And then I would go run track and I wouldn't understand why I didn't feel great. And fortunately, I had a coach who was knowledgeable about the nutrition that athletes should have. And he suggested that I stop eating so much fast food and that I stop eating so much red meat. So I stopped eating red meat and slowly, 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 I lessened my meat consumption. I began to thrive as a runner. I felt really good. And when I moved out of my family's house after high school, I would call myself a vegetarian. Hardcore vegetarians probably wouldn't have called me a vegetarian, but I tried very hard to not eat meat, but I was very poor. I didn't have any money. And so if someone gave me a pizza, I would pick off the pepperonis or something like that. So not quite fully vegetarian, but I tried really hard. I didn't buy any meat. Mm-hmm. And then when I was 20, I was at a community college and I joined the veg club there. And I met people who had a similar background to me. They were on a budget. They had cultural ties to their food. They were my age. And we learned how to cook together and we visited farmed animal rescues and learned about what was going on in the dairy industry. And there were other influences at the time that helped me feel like it was just the right thing to do to become vegan. And I was vegan for the animals at that time. I learned about the cruelties that were happening in the dairy industry specifically, and I felt so moved to make a lifestyle change.
That is such a cool story. And where was it that you grew up?
I'm from Sacramento. Mm-hmm.
And that's where you went to college as well?
Well, I first went to college right after high school, and I was a very terrible student, absolutely terrible. And I failed out of college around that time, and I started working full-time for animals in my early 20s. I felt like I don't need school. I know what I want to do. I want to be a full-time activist, and it is my passion in life to help rescue animal. So I have the great privilege to have spent my whole career and my whole adult life, 13 years working for animals. And it wasn't until my late 20s that I went back to college to better my skills to help animals still, but to be more prepared in the business world, specifically to run plant-based on a budget in a better, more efficient, professional way. And so I went back to college and I went to the University of San Francisco in my late 20s.
Do you still keep in touch with a coach who originally turned you into pursuing the vegetarian track?
I really wish that I knew his name. I don't know anything about him, but I know that he had a profound impact. And it's funny because somebody was telling me about there are seven times in your life where you meet someone or you do something and it changes the path that you're going down. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of one of them, where a simple suggestion turned into a lifelong change forever and ever. And as I mentioned, it was a variety of influences, but that was the genesis of it all. That was the first step that I made toward vegetarianism.
I just find it amazing. And I'm thinking about how many times you have probably told your story, you know, how many times it's been recorded, how many times you wrote it. And every time you tell it, you probably mentioned that coach. I know that I have heard some of your previous interviews where you did as well. And now being a successful blogger and the author and a podcaster and having the influence on thousands and thousands and thousands of people. Can you, like, I just think it's so beautiful how it all like trickled down and now you have this beautiful impact on people.
I am grateful to that coach. And I'm also grateful to some of the other people along my journey. I'm grateful to all of the people who in the very beginning stages of my vegetarianism and veganism, who were not judgmental. I had some vegan friends and I was very hesitant at first to call myself a vegan. I felt like I didn't identify with that culture. I felt like I didn't, like, my perception was that vegans were hippies and they're like radical, and that was not me. And my friends just kept letting me be. They didn't judge me. They didn't force anything upon me. And I was allowed to go at my own pace. And I'm really stubborn. So if someone had challenged me in some way or called me out in some way, I don't know that it would have stuck as much as it did, but I just had this free space to explore and to make it personal for me. I feel like my whole vegan journey has been very personal and deep in my heart because I had that space to explore it. And then I also had some really great educators, especially in that veg club. The people who sponsored the club were vegetarians themselves. And I remember one of them, her name is Beth Forrester. She reached out to me. She saw me on a video with Dr. Michael Greger. And she reached out to me as an adult and said, "Oh my gosh, I remember you from my class." And her class was so inspiring to me. It was an ethics class, Intro to Ethics. And part of the class was animal ethics. So one third of the class was animal ethics. And as extra credit, she offered people to go to Veg Club. And that was the original reason I went to Veg Club, was because she offered it for extra credit and I needed extra credit. So I went to this Veg Club. I made all these new friends. I learned all of this new cool stuff. They had food for free. And I was like, heck yeah, I'm going to this thing. And the rest is history.
That is amazing. Another thing that I'm curious about is I know that you mentioned that you worked for 12 or 13 years for the animals and then you kind of went back and sought more skills and education to empower yourself to be a better businesswoman. And I know that you're still very passionate about the cause. Tell me a little bit about what shifted for you. How did your activism change or how did your approach change and what have you learned along the way?
Oh, that's a great question that I'm still trying to figure out the answer. I know that my original approach was definitely more aggressive. The first place I worked was a farmed animal rescue nearby Sacramento. And when you're working directly with animals, you feel this intense desire to make change happen immediately. You see firsthand, very up close and personally, that there is so much suffering happening. And when you feel that, you want to share it with everyone. You want to tell your parents, you want to tell your friends, and sometimes it comes across negative. Sometimes it can even be like, please stop murdering animals. And nobody wants to be called a murderer. So my feelings at that point were very intense. And so my approach was also intense. And then after that, I moved over to doing advocacy work with, although I had always, I've always been in social media. So the, for the farmed animal rescue, I did social media and outreach. For the advocacy organization, I ran their blog and helped with social media. And there, their approach was very different. They had more of a pragmatic approach. And I learned a lot about helping people in the public, the general public, who were not familiar with vegetarianism 1 minute before you approach them. And how to communicate effectively and how to be kind and compassionate in discussing very delicate and heavily charged topics that are personal, like food choices. And so from there, I just toned it down a little bit. I started working with more people who were outside of my bubble, my vegan bubble. And then simultaneously, I was working with plant-based on a budget, and I had access to a lot of people who really were interested in changing their diets, but who had never had the education or the experience, the exposure of eating and cooking healthy food. So I just have extremely toned it down. I have become so proud of anyone who makes any change, whether it's a meatless Monday, whether it's one meal, whether it's still a meal that is half of what it should be. So if it's 50% less meat in your one meal, I'll celebrate it. Any step in the direction of sparing animals has become something worth celebrating to me.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I think that's what I'm finding as well. I at the beginning, when I first became vegetarian and then vegan, and you just have this, like, you experience, or rather you let yourself experience all this pain that you've been hiding from your whole life, because I've been like trying to justify my behaviors and make it all somehow fit into my world, but it didn't. And then once you allow it into your heart, it hurts so bad. And I just wanted to stand on top of the mountain and yell to everybody that they should go vegan and these animals deserve to live. And I completely can relate to what you're saying and how much passion and urgency there is in the way in that your actions are. But I think also along my journey, and mine hasn't been as long and as yours, but I had my own path. And I think what I'm finding too is that it is just as important to learn to be compassionate towards humans as it is towards non-human animals. And sometimes for me, it is just simply holding space for them regardless of their choices, and then but still speaking up your truth in a non-judgmental way, so that when they are ready, they can hear the message, but at the same time that they're not intimidated by what you're saying, because they're not trying to like fight back.
I completely agree. And it reminds me of my own journey. I mentioned that I had those people in my life who let me be, who let me discover on my own. And I, although it started for health reasons, I let my defenses down because I was no longer contributing to it. So I know that right now in this time, so many people are finding vegetarianism and veganism through Netflix documentaries, and they're doing it for their health. But if you give them the space to learn about other things, they're already no longer contributing to the cruelties in the dairy industry and the egg industry and the meat industry, that they may take on another passion in the way that I did. They may feel compelled to change their why they're keeping their long-term diet change, and make it more of a lifestyle change for whatever the animals or the environment or the numerous reasons you can maintain veganism.
Okay, so let's get into the plan based on a budget. So first of all, congratulations on your new book, The Plan Based on a Budget, Delicious Recipes for Under $30 a Week in Less Than 30 Minutes a Meal. This is all of those numbers are very impressive, and I'm very excited to get into maybe a few more details about how to actually make it happen. But I'm curious about where did the idea come from, and when did you start working on plan based on a budget? Because I know that the brand has been out there for a while.
Mm-hmm. So I, like you, continuously hear that eating vegan is too expensive. And when I became vegan, I didn't have any money. So I understood that it was not a diet that was only for an elite select few. It was something that I could maintain on a very, very low budget. At the time, I lived in a bedroom with two other people. I had multiple jobs. I rode a bike only. And it didn't make sense to me that people associated vegan lifestyle with living a fancy life, because that was just so far from what I had. And in addition to that, my family was experiencing so many different types of diet-related health issues. And I feel a very deep sadness in my heart for people who feel sentenced to poor health because of their financial status. And that was my family. I had an aunt who had type 2 diabetes and multiple amputations before I claimed her life. I had my grandpa who had a heart attack, and then he had a triple bypass surgery and it claimed his life. I had an uncle who was 40 years old and had a heart attack. I've had, you name it, we suffered from it in my family. And it's so hard to see people you love not make the changes that you know are possible and that could potentially save their lives. And so they were also a motivation in plant-based on a budget. I wanted to start compiling some of my family's recipes while also keeping in mind all of the other people who are out there in similar situations who feel like healthy eating, plant-based eating, vegan eating are not for them because they don't have enough money.
Mm-hmm. And how many years ago was that?
That was in 2012.
So,
yeah.
And then you decide, okay, so I'm going to go to the store and I'm going to figure out the cheapest possible weekly plan, and I'm going to keep it around $20 a week.
Well,
and I'm going to make a brand, a nationally recognized brand out of it.
I first started with recipes. Okay. And a lot of people wrote to me and they were like, look, I see your recipes, A for effort, but I don't know how to put these together to not be spending $100 buying these ingredients that are only for this recipe. So if you're coming into cooking, not having a pantry that's stocked, you don't know how to meal plan and you don't know how to put different recipes together so that you're only having to buy one bag of carrots, one bag of potatoes, one bag of rice, and then use those ingredients to make different recipes. When you don't know how to cook, say you get that recipe, but then you have this recipe over here that's got kale and peanut butter and chickpeas, and then you got another recipe of like pasta and pasta sauce and something. They're all so different from each other. Instead of learning how to use your 1 5-pound bag of potatoes to go in different diverse recipes, and And so what I did was I started figuring out how to meal plan myself and documenting my journey. There was something that was called the SNAP Challenge at the time. And the SNAP Challenge was showing people how to eat on the same budget that people have when they're receiving government food assistance. Mm-hmm. And I was looking up all the different bloggers to see how they were experiencing it. And I felt uncomfortable by what some of what I was seeing. I was seeing people who were like in their grocery cart with their cheap food at Dollar Tree store, kind of make like smiling big and pointing at their cheap food. And it just felt really insensitive to me, to people who are long-term in that situation. And Dollar Tree store is where they shop, and they're not like laughing and smiling and pointing at their grocery cart. It felt like there was a disconnect and an insensitivity. And I also feel like I just wanted to reframe it about saving money, regardless of the situation. Maybe you're not making as much as you want to. That's why you want to save money. Maybe you want to take a vacation with your family, and that's why you want to save money. There are so many different reasons for wanting to be on a budget, and I wanted to be inclusive of all types of people because I believe all types of people want to save money. And so I called it the Plant-Based on a Budget Challenge. I showed how you can eat for $25 a week, which was cheaper than the SNAP challenge. So if someone was on government assistance, they could take this challenge and still save money. And I showed how to eat for 7 days, 3 meals a day. And it did very well. People had extreme interest in it. And it's still to this day something that's the most popular service that Plant-Based on a Budget provides. So I have the free meal plans, I have 4 free meal plans, and then I have meal plans that are $5 each that are a little bit higher quality. And I did those with my friend Michelle, who I also wrote my upcoming cookbook with, the Friendly Vegan Cookbook. She's my co-author in that, so we work together a lot. Mm-hmm. But the Plant-Based on a Budget meal plans have been the core of my brand, I'd say.
That is amazing. Michelle is wonderful as well. I listened to your podcast, that everybody should check it out too. But you guys make a great duet for the podcasting. But yeah, I think it's really cool. Another thing that I appreciate you talking about is that it's not just budgeting money, it's also budgeting time, which is very, very important too. And the way that you present kind of the strategies that we'll get into in a little bit, but like the strategies and the approaches that you talk about, it's about saving resources in general. It's about being gentle in the environment. It's about saving the money, which I think, as you said, is important regardless of how rich or poor you are. I think it's showing respect to the hard work that you put in into making that money. It's mm-hmm. spending them wisely, but it's also about saving time, which is also one of the most precious things probably that we have today, even beyond having the money. So it's really, 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 really cool. Thank you, Tony. Okay. So maybe let's get into it now. Let's get into some tips and show people how saving money and how being effective with your finances is very, very much possible on a vegan plant-based diet. But maybe first, can you share some of your guiding principles that you're taking into consideration when you were developing the plan? So I know that you're also health conscious, so it's not just, you know, getting whatever is the cheapest food, but it's still trying to stick to the like more of the whole foods approach. What are some other principles that you were kind of putting down for yourself as you were developing and creating this meal plans?
I have a lot of experience now, as I mentioned, in this space. And so I've heard it all. I know every reason people struggle with eating a plant-based diet. And we tried to be considerate of all of those different struggles. And I am very conscious to never call them excuses, because I do think that people have valid reasons for struggling. And so I want to give them resources to overcome those obstacles so that they are not having to worry about them. So one of them, of course, is time. People have multiple jobs or multiple kids, or like there's just so much that life puts on your plate. And so we tried to make everything as fast as possible, and also give you tips on how you can make it faster if you have something like an Instant Pot or something like that. So we try to give tips. We do this in both the cookbook and in the meal plans. And then health. Health is a huge concern. Many people come to the plant-based on a budget meal plans because they're looking for a guide to help them stay away from the more processed diet. And I generally promote a mostly whole foods plant-based diet. Or if I'm not, I'll give the alternatives. So if I use a little bit of oil, I'll say you can use this much water usually. And just being conscious of health. And then also the environment. I talk about the environment a lot. I've been trying to be more conscious of the plastic that I use. So I have been talking a lot about bulk shopping and reusable bags and putting things in random Tupperwares in your cabinet so that you don't have to use the bags from the store, the plastic bags. It's a little bit different with COVID, but here in my area, you can still buy a lot in bulk. You just can't use the one that you put your hand on the scoop and scoop it. You can use the one that you pour out though. So I've still been able to buy almost everything in bulk that I was buying before and bring my reusable bags.
That is really cool. Okay, so let's get into the details. Give us your wisdom and guidance on how to make meals quick, cheap, and healthy with plant-based vegan diet.
We'll start with cheap because that's okay. My favorite. I recommend starting by taking note of what you have in your pantry and building your grocery shopping list and your meal plan on that. Because if you have pasta already and you have rice, you don't need to go out and buy some other base of your meal. So build upon what you have. And in Plant-Based on a Budget, the cookbook, I give a lot of different alternatives for those things too. And then what I used to do when I first started cooking was I would check out cookbooks from the library and figure out how I could swap in my ingredients that I already had when I was building my meal plan. Now, fortunately, the internet is so wonderful and you could easily type in, like, I have a garden growing right now, add zucchini. Zucchini and tomatoes recipe. And I could figure out how I could use my zucchini and tomatoes in a bowl with a nice sauce on it. So then if I were to go to the grocery store, I would only have to buy the stuff to make the sauce and maybe some rice to put underneath it. And that's how I recommend building your shopping list. When you go to the grocery store, that's a whole different thing because there's a lot of marketing tactics that are working against you. I recommend going to the section where you want to buy the tomato sauce, for example, to buy the cheapest option. Sometimes when you walk in, you'll see these end caps that have cheap tomato sauce, or it's like Prego or something like that. But that's not the cheapest. If you go in there and you look probably a little bit lower, you'll see the store brand. At your eye level will still be that Prego sauce probably because they may be paying for shelf space. Mm-hmm. Look a little bit down and get that cheaper option, which is usually the private label store brand. So there are tips like that. But one way that people say all the time to get in and out is to shop the perimeter. I do that most of the time, but there are some things in the middle, like your pasta. You have to go if you eat pasta, or your cans of beans, or your if you're buying a bag of beans, to go in there. So just shopping with intention. Make sure you're shopping with your list. Shopping with coupons. I love mobile coupons. I am a couponer. And I'm like one of those people on, have you ever seen the shows where they're extreme couponing? And then you can see like the number dropping at the register. That's kind of like me. I'm like getting boosts of dopamine watching the number go down. And so what I do is I usually shop at places that have a mobile app. And I clip my coupons before to see if there's anything that matches my grocery shopping list. And when you get there, you just scan your mobile app. It's not as embarrassing as it used to be where you're like fumbling with coupons from your purse. Now you just scan your barcode and it's pretty good.
What are some of the apps that you use for the coupons?
The nearest grocery store to my house is Sprouts, and they have really good coupons. But I think that most grocery stores have them. I know like Walmart has them, and I think even Whole Foods has them. And then for rebate apps, I really like Ibotta, and that's where you later take your receipt and you go through and check all the things that you bought, and you scan the barcode on your receipt and it gives you cash back for what you bought. So say you bought Silk yogurt and there was a cash back, a 25 cent cash back reward for buying the Silk yogurt. You can now get that cash back. And once you hit like $20, you can cash out into your PayPal and money back. And so I've probably saved, I'm not even kidding, maybe like $1,000 on Ibotta.
Wow.
I know. It's fun, and it's probably a little bit obsessive for me, but I really appreciate it. And there are other things too. So if you're shopping online, there are apps like Rakuten and RetailMeNot that you put on your browser. They're apps for your browser. And then when you're shopping for really anything, it'll tell you, you can get 5% cash back at this store for today only. And so you can get your cash back. So I also save money that way too on other things like household products or whatever you're purchasing. Okay, so back to grocery store. Mm-hmm. I, of course, shop in bulk. I try to shop in season. I grow a lot of my own food, especially now in COVID. I've been growing a lot of my own food, which has been nice because I was trying to make less frequent trips to the grocery store. And now I'm planting my winter garden, which has been really fun to start from seed. And the seeds that I'm buying, I'm getting like a million seeds in a pack, and they're like $2 for the pack. So I'm planting Brussels sprouts, spinach, kale, Swiss chard, all kinds of things. And even if you don't have space, I'm growing a lot of them in containers. So you can just get either a 12-inch container or one of those bigger 5-gallon containers and grow your food. And if you don't have that much space, you can even do herbs. I'm growing in little pots. You can put them on your windowsill. I'm growing basil, Italian parsley, curly parsley, mint, and you spend about, we'll say, if you're not growing from seed and you're buying the little plant, each plant is like $4, but it lasts you forever. And you just have to give it a little bit of love, and it serves you well and for a long time. So it's an upfront investment of like $4 or $5, but it saves you. We'll say you're buying mint for $1 a bunch. You're saving, I don't know, $10 over the next 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So okay, that's one of my favorite things that I'm doing right now is growing my own food.
I love it. Okay, so far we have build on what you have. So check mm-hmm. out your, take inventory, take stock of what you already have in your pantry, and then add your base to your recipes based on that. And then uh-huh. shop in bulk in the store, grow your own food. What else do we have?
Let's see. What else do I have? Farmers markets. Mm-hmm. Farmers markets are fantastic. I'm so lucky to live in California. So if you do live in California, you can have a farmers market almost every day. I know that that's not a reality for everyone, but there are times where I can get 20 pounds of peaches for $5 and then I freeze them. Let's see, what else can I tell you? Oh my gosh, can you see? I'm sorry. can you see this?
Oh, is he awake? Oh, hi. Yes.
He put his head on my computer.
Oh, I love it. What's his name?
His name is Eddie. He actually is a COVID dog for us.
What does it mean?
Eddie is my husband's grandfather's name. And my husband really loved his grandfather so much that we named our little doggy Eddie.
Oh, I love it. Oh, he's so sweet. Well, Eddie's going to be famous.
Eddie, you're going to be famous. He has an Instagram now.
Oh, yes. We should. What's his handle?
It is Eddie, Eddie, the pity, Pittie.
That's perfect.
Okay, so back to tips.
Yes.
Cooking from scratch. I save a lot of money cooking from scratch. I used to, when I first became plant-based, not really know how to cook, and so I would rely on easy vegan foods that you can buy in the frozen section or that are pre-made. And since I've learned how to cook rice and beans and lentils and to flavor them and use different spices, I can now make a healthy meal on a very tight budget. And that's the basis of most of the food that plant-based on a budget is learning how to use those staple ingredients that people have been thriving on for centuries.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's so interesting because as you said, like I think people think about going vegetarian, vegan, or plant-based, and they think about going to Whole Foods and getting, you know, some food from the hot bar, maybe some salad or some arugula that's by the time you weigh it, it comes up to like $12 salad, and then getting a few drinks and a few other things from Whole Foods, for example. And I love Whole Foods with all my heart. I love Whole Foods, but I don't think you can walk out from there without spending, you know, $50 to $100 and without getting too much on it. And of course, that's where the perception grows. I think another interesting one is the proper food storage, because mm-hmm. what I hear is people either, you know, putting tomatoes in the fridge or leaving the lemons out. Or what do you think are some of the biggest mistakes that you see that people make that prevents them from enjoying their food for as long as they could have otherwise?
Herbs. Storing herbs improperly is one of the biggest ways I see contributing to food waste. Mm-hmm. And the way you're supposed to do it, instead of what I see is, or what I hear is, people take the bunch that they get of cilantro and they put it in their refrigerator like that, just as they purchase it from the store. But what I do is I take care of it like a bouquet of flowers. And when I get it, I chop the ends off and I put it in a cup of water. And that sometimes gives me another week with my herbs.
Wow. So you mm-hmm. don't put them in the fridge. You just put
them in the fridge. I do put them in the fridge. I put them in the fridge in a cup of water, like a bouquet. Mm-hmm. And you know how they say if you buy flowers and you're going to leave for the day and you want to preserve them, to put them in the refrigerator, or that's how they do it at the florist. That gives it a little bit more life. And so you do the same with your herbs, all of them. You cut the bottoms, put them in a little cup of water, and then you put them in there like a standing bouquet, and you get a lot more life out of them.
That is so cool. I didn't know that. Okay, so maybe can we play a few scenarios? I'll give you, like, I can be like a family or I can be a student or something. I'll give you a quick scenario and you tell me what you would make or what you would, how you would approach meal planning if you were me. Would that work?
Sure.
Okay, let's do it. So let's say let's say I am a mom in the family with a few kids and I work a lot and I don't have a whole lot of time or a lot of money, but I'm preparing meals and I'm trying to make it last a week. How can I make it cost effective and how can I make sure that it doesn't go bad tomorrow?
I would really look into investing in some kind of tool in the kitchen. So I bought my slow cooker for $4 at the thrift store. And I got my Instant Pot for $30 off on Amazon because I bought it used and it had a dent in it. So there are ways to get very helpful tools in the kitchen that'll save you so much time from prep work. And what I do in, or what I would recommend to this mom is to rely more on frozen produce so she doesn't have to do the chopping. It's going to be already chopped. Get some protein like we'll say beans or tofu either in a pot if she really can't afford the slow cooker or the pressure cooker. Throw all of these things, your frozen produce, your tofu or beans, and a grain in there with some soup stock and make a huge pot of something that you can last a couple days. And that'll save you a couple days in the kitchen. So batch cooking. And if you get really good at batch cooking and you have the space in your freezer, you can start cooking multiple things at the same time and then freezing one of them. Mm-hmm. Some ways, if you have a community, you can also do food swapping where you make two of the same thing. Like, say you're going to make a casserole dish, for example, make two casserole dishes, and then you can swap with your coworker at work. That is something that I've done in my past. It not only saves me time and it allows me to eat something new, it also introduces something to someone else to vegan cooking. So I would print a recipe off of the internet or take a photocopy of a cookbook and give them that recipe or a few recipes or send them a website that'll introduce them to vegan cooking and then make it so that you both have meals for your families because you did double the work, but you didn't have to buy double the ingredients of two different types of ingredients, I mean.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I love that. I love the food swapping idea. And it also is like, it helps build relationships with people. And this is something that we need so much today. And like the whole idea of sharing food is just so beautiful.
Yeah, that's actually for the new cookbook, the Friendly Vegan Cookbook, that's pretty much the whole premise is being a friendly vegan and sharing food with non-vegans is one of the best forms of activism that you can do.
I love that. I love that. Okay. So I have another question though.
Okay.
Staying on the same topic. So what is your favorite dish to share? Or let's say that you're going to a party and you're trying to bring something that's really cool and easy to share. That's a really flavorful party pleaser, but at the same time, does not break your bank.
Are you thinking a dessert or are you thinking an appetizer or?
Let's go with the appetizer.
An appetizer. There are fried wontons. They're tofu based fried wontons on Plant Based on a Budget, the website. You can find them there. Mm-hmm. And they're pretty simple. They require a few ingredients. They're a little bit time intensive, but they're always a crowd pleaser. And then I love barbecues and I feel like some of the staples like potato salad or macaroni salad are always crowd pleasers, but veganized.
Yeah. If you were going to a party, like to a barbecue party tomorrow, what would you bring?
I love bringing something classic like tofu kebabs because they're beautiful and you can make a very tasty, flavorful marinade that always makes people excited to try them just because they're different. They're not the typical burger. They look unique and they're very colorful with different color bell peppers or tomatoes and mushrooms and onion and tofu. It's pretty to bring and guests like it. And it also introduces them to a new way of using tofu, and people always have a strange feeling mm-hmm. regarding tofu. They think that it's going to be bland and not good, and I like to prove them wrong.
That little bit of stubbornness in you, huh?
Yes.
You can relate on that. I identify as stubborn as well.
I appreciate that.
I love it. And is there a recipe for the tofu?
The tofu kebabs. Because the new book is food sharing, we have a ton of recipes just like that. So we have tofu kebabs, we have potato salad, macaroni salad, things to bring to Thanksgiving or Christmas or Hanukkah or anything, whatever you celebrate, there's something for you to bring, birthday cake. It's all about sharing food with non-vegans.
That's amazing. I love it. Is it Eddie there in the background?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
He's perfect. No, I want him on the show. This is perfect.
Thank you.
But the new cookbook is not out yet, is it?
It comes out in October.
Yes. Okay, so by Thanksgiving, we should have it.
Oh, yes, definitely. Perfect. It's timed for holidays.
Amazing. Okay, perfect.
And so we've got green bean casserole, yes, and mashed potatoes and gravy, you name it, rolls.
Yes. Okay, perfect. I know what I'm getting all of my friends for for the holidays. Okay, so let's say, and what if I'm a student, completely just no money, and I am tired of the pizza eating that is free at all of the student events. How can I still be healthy, and what are some of, like, the cheapest options for me to do and to eat?
I recently, well, I guess not recently anymore. It feels like yesterday, but it was kind of a while ago, I guess. I made a video of what I eat in a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, for 2 days, really, of from the dollar store. And it showed how I ate multiple meals that were delicious and healthy for, I think I spent $7. And there were still a lot of leftovers after those 2 days worth of meals. And that had fried rice, it had a pasta dish, and I think a bean and rice dish. Mm-hmm. So there are places like the Dollar Tree store that have healthy whole food plant-based options. But even if you have no cooking skills and no money, and you have just top ramen at your house and some frozen peas and carrots, you can still make a meal out of that. You cannot use the food packet. You cannot use the seasonings, and make more of a stir fry using those noodles, and fill it with any frozen vegetables or even fresh vegetables if you have them. And you can use tofu if you have tofu. Throw that in there for a protein source. And then some things I would do to flavor it, you could put in a little bit of soy sauce and sriracha, or mm-hmm. garlic and onions, or you can make something like a peanut sauce if you have peanut butter.
I love that. You make it sound so easy, and it's so true. Like, all of those things are something that one not necessarily think about right away, but it makes so much sense.
Thank you.
What about couples? Let's say they're trying to save money, maybe living separately, but what are some of the money and time saving ways to still eat healthy? Maybe also for, like, athlete slated people.
Okay. So athletic couples.
Yes.
I would say I live in an athletic couple. I'm not so much athletic, but my husband is athletic and is also a very clean eater. And things that we eat in our house are, we shop a lot of whole grains mm-hmm. and a lot of different, I try to do a diverse range of protein sources. So I do buy tofu. I buy every type of bean you can think of. Sunflower seeds are really cheap. So if you're doing a couple salad for an appetizer, make sure you put some sunflower seeds on there for some extra protein. For dinner, you can use, I've seen the bean pastas at Walmart for $3. Do you know the bean pastas?
They're, yes, like banza. Pastas made, I know, from, they're like, yes, loaded, yes, yes, with protein. I love them.
Yes. So you can do something like that, that is high in protein with some marinara sauce. Marinara sauce you can buy for $1.50 in some places, mm-hmm. and load it up with your frozen veggies. And it doesn't sound creative, but you can make it creative. There are things that you can do with a regular pasta dish, like make a tofu ricotta just by crumbling your tofu and sauteing it up with a little bit of lemon juice and some garlic. And it brings a whole new complexity to something simple like a pasta dish. So it sounds simple, rice and beans, pasta, but you can really jazz it up.
I love that. Yeah. And I think once you also kind of reset your palate, you're able to taste the whole foods better. And it just, the life just becomes more exciting.
mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think I got most of my questions out of the way. I have one question that I usually close up with, but before we go, are there any things that you still wanted to talk about or some of the other tips that are coming to mind to you that we haven't discussed yet?
I usually like to close everything with, if anyone is listening to this, to be gentle with yourself and not to give up. Sometimes it's easy to be discouraged because you made a mistake on purpose or on accident. And then you're like, oh, tried it, didn't work for me. But instead, if you can just move past it and continue choosing plant-based options, it can work for you. I know that life is so complex and filled with things that there are certain times it can be easier, and just sticking with it, I feel, will make it easier. Mm. Getting familiar, getting the hang of it, and being graceful and gentle with yourself.
I love that. We all definitely need to hear that message, especially nowadays, especially during these crazy, crazy times.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so let's recap before I ask my last question, because I just think these tips are like so amazingly helpful, and I want everybody to know that eating healthy, vegan, and plant-based does not have to be expensive. So some of the things that we talked about and we mentioned was build on what you have. So make sure to take your inventory of what you already have, incorporate that in your recipe so that the only thing you have to get is just the missing ingredients and not necessarily getting everything from scratch for every single recipe. Then we talked about shopping in bulk, because even if you do try to try something new, let's say, I find that it's easier to get a little bit of something in bulk versus going and looking for those fancy, beautiful packages, which definitely look beautiful, but the check, the receipt doesn't always look beautiful afterwards. Then we also talked about growing your own food, which I know a lot more people are getting into, that they have been on the lockdown for a while, which I think is amazing. Farmers markets and finds there, especially end of the day deals, or as Tony mentioned, we talked about swapping foods with either your neighbors or your coworkers, or just making sure that you don't have to do all different kinds of recipes, but maybe making a little bit more of the same recipe and either sharing with somebody, or what I found also is maybe like freezing portion of that and using that later. Some of the other things we talked about is finding cost-effective ingredients that kind of serve your purpose a little bit more, being health or athletic related, and adding those to some specific meals, or maybe cooking a little bit more and using some of the tools like Instapot that you mentioned that make cooking easy and less involved in terms of time and effort. Let's see. Those are the things that I have. What else am I missing, Tony? Any last minute tips that are coming to mind?
That is it.
Okay.
Those are my favorites.
I love it. Well, then the biggest tip is to go and get Tony's book. Check out the website, plantbasedonthebudget.com, and then get Tony's new book, Plant Based on the Budget, Delicious Vegan Recipes for Under $30 a Week in Less Than 30 Minutes a Meal. And then I'm very much looking forward to your new book that you said, The Friendly Vegan. Is that what it's going to be called?
The Friendly Vegan Cookbook.
Amazing. Okay. That's going to make a perfect preparation for the Thanksgiving as well as a perfect gift for the Christmas holidays. So the question that I usually close with, Tony, is about kindness. I know we chatted just a little bit before that we started recording, that I really love to explore what kindness means to some of my heroes. And I know you've been an inspiration of mine from my early vegetarian and vegan journey. And I shared your website and your resource to many of my friends before. So I'm curious about what is your definition of kindness and how do you get to follow it in your daily life?
My definition of kindness, the first thing that pops into my mind is my interactions with people on a daily basis. It's so easy right now to be polarized and to just see everything in black and white. But there are so many different reasons people are the way they are, and looking for the similarities between us instead of the differences has really been dramatic in helping me keep friendships very long term, and understanding that people can be kind and compassionate although they believe different things than I do, and also I associate kindness with forgiveness and just giving people the grace and expressing that kindness through forgiving them for being different, from believing different, from any hurt that they may have caused in the past, and hoping and wishing that they can be better is what kindness means to me.
I love that. I love it. Thank you so much, Tony. Tony, thank you so much again for your time. I'm so grateful for you, for the work that you do, for all the wisdom and inspiration and kindness that you spread into this world. And I'm really looking forward to continuing to watch what you do with your brand and with your platform, and very much looking towards the new book, and maybe we'll get you back on the pod once the new book comes out.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.